Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
All right.
So today's episode, we're going to take you to the starvation doctor.
Woo! Sounds terrible.
I know. Linda Burfield Hazard. I should tell you something right there. Hazard.
Listen, Linda.
Listen, Linda.
You're a hazard.
You're hazardous to your health.
Dr. Hazard. Yeah, that'd be a little bit.
Wouldn't that be like a little stop sign?
Yeah. You probably aren't the best doctor for me.
Slow your pace. Have you ever met someone so confident, so absolutely sure of themselves that you start to think, maybe I'm the crazy one?
No, I think I'm the one that people think that about. I just think I'm crazy. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I am crazy.
That's you and Linda Burfield Hazard then.
Oh, hey, Hazard, what up, girl? I'm a texter.
This is a woman who could look you dead in the eye and tell you that starvation was the cure for everything that ailed you.
Nope, not
and
me.
And somehow make you thank her for the privilege of dying in the process.
Oh, no, I like ice cream too much. Sorry, Linda, we can't be friends.
Sonic blast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we're not friends with Linda.
No.
Linda, listen. Listen, Linda.
That kid is the cutest.
All right, so this is the story of the starvation doctor. A woman who wasn't really a doctor. She was more of like a healer who left a trail of corpses in her wake, convinced she was saving lives while cashing their checks.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You have a body count. Who are you saving?
One day, eventually, it's going to happen.
I will get my first victory.
My theory will win.
Somebody needs my help.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start where all great cautionary tales begin, with blind faith, pseudoscience, and an empty stomach.
I can deal with the first two.
Let's don't do it as we're eating gummy bears.
I want to eat my gummy bears while we're reading this.
Yeah, we're chewing on some gummy bears. Forgive the smacks.
Sorry.
Okay. Linda Burfield Hazard was born in 1867 in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Back whenever medicine was mostly snake oil and guesswork. Hmm. You could hang a sign on a door that said doctor and boom, instant credibility.
Huh.
Which I kind of think that's how it is today. Who really double checks?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. She did not go to medical school. She didn't need to.
I'm going to put doctor up on my office wall.
Mm. I think you should. Dr. Pecker. She didn't go to medical school. She didn't need to. Washington State at the time had this little loophole in its medical licensing laws. If you practiced alternative medicine, you could legally call yourself a physician. No degree, no problem. Just confidence in a robe, baby.
Hmm. What do they mean by alternative? Like, I can spit in your face and it's going to heal you?
Yeah, like pseudoscience. Like, smoke this herb, chew this flower. I don't know.
Yeah. And back in the 1800s, Queen Victoria used to do crack.
Well, this is 1867.
So they might have used crack as a anxiety treatment.
Okay. You talking about butt crack?
No, she likes her cocaine.
Coke crack. It's cocaine crack? No.
Cocaine crack? I don't know.
No, it's not. Cocaine is cocaine and crack cocaine.
Does that mean like it's bad cocaine?
Yeah, crack is bad. Let's see what that is.
I think cocaine. I guess all of it is bad.
Lord, the things that we look up for you people, I can't even.
We're going to go to jail.
Cocaine and crack are two different forms of the same drug, but they differ in their physical form and method of use. Cocaine is typically a white powder that can be snorted or injected, while crack is a solid, rock-like form that is usually smoked.
Hmm.
And I think crack is more dangerous.
Very interesting.
Interesting. So, Linda, with her no degree and her doctor's robe, took it and ran with it. She specialized in what she called therapeutic fasting. Hmm. The idea was simple. Dangerously simple. She believed that every illness, every single one from a headache to cancer, was caused by impurities in the body. Now, she's not that far off.
I was about to ask, does she bleed people?
Like no.
Like they did back in the day.
Mm-mm. No, but almost every form of illness goes back to your gut, I think. Your gut health. So anyway, her solution? Stop eating. Mm. Starve the badness right out of yourself.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I'd be a terrible patient.
I know. Me too. I would fail miserably. Now, to be fair, fasting was trendy in the early 1900s. And I guess back then they didn't have all the temptations that we have. So
yeah,
what were you really missing? Like turkey legs and potatoes or chicken, fish, you know. They didn't have all the processed foods that we have today.
Can't drive through McDonald's.
No, there's no McDonald's.
Can't go to Sonic and get a blast.
I would imagine that dieting was a lot healthier back then.
I wonder if they had to diet.
I don't know. So, and again, it was trendy. Health fads were everywhere. People were eating raw onions for vitality and rubbing radium on their faces for that healthy glow.
Oh my God.
So Linda wasn't alone in her nonsense, but she took it to a level that made the other quacks look like amateurs.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, I saw, what was that we were looking at? And we saw, or it was a podcast that we were doing, and it was an old newspaper from like the 1800s, and they had some old advertisements for makeup.
Oh, yeah. Was it the Mary Bell?
I think it was. And it was like people like putting radium, make you glow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Wow. Okay.
In the early 1900s, they used to have, I forget what they were called, these girls, like 19 or 20 of them, and they would paint clock faces and it would make it glow.
Oh, yeah.
And they would wet the brush in their mouth and use it, and they all died. But what was it? Was it like
radiation poisoning?
Yeah, it was something like poisonous, and they didn't tell anybody, and like their teeth and stuff started falling out.
We'll have to do that one. Linda claimed that fasting could cure anything, tuberculosis, paralysis, even death if you caught it early enough. She said food was the enemy, and the path to salvation was through hunger. If you think that sounds extreme, you're right. But she had charisma, the kind of energy that could sell water to a drowning man. And when she spoke, people believed her. And I've seen people like that. They're like, dang it, how did they get me? Mm-hmm. Her early patients were mostly upper-class women looking for spiritual cleansing. They would come to her clinic weak, desperate, and hopeful. And at least at first, some said that they felt better. Because, yeah, you stop eating long enough, your body does go numb.
Really? Your body goes numb?
I guess if you starve yourself.
That's crazy.
You might mistake that for peace.
I get hangry. I would not be peaceful.
I guess once you get that, that's the devil trying to bring you down, you know, whenever you're hangry.
I'm so hungry.
Like, oh, no, I can't do this. And somebody says, oh, it's the devil got you down.
Feed me.
Feed my food baby. My food baby is starving.
My food baby.
Yeah. Linda, with her vision, saw herself in this big empire, this empty, starving empire.
Oh my gosh.
In 1908, she opened Wilderness Heights, a sanatorium in Olalla, Washington. Locals called it something else, Starvation Heights.
Huh. Mm-hmm. What is a sanatorium? Is it like a hospital? Or an insane asylum?
It's not an insane asylum. It's a treatment center for chronic diseases or medically supervised recuperation. Oh. A resort for improvement or maintenance of health, especially convalescence. That's where I need to be right now.
Take me
Maybe
home.
Maybe not in Starvation Heights.
But oh, no, not there. But at a sanatorium.
Somewhere peaceful. It was a beautiful place, perched above Puget Sound. Surrounded by evergreens and fog, peaceful, serene, the kind of setting that makes you think, maybe this will heal me. And that's exactly what Linda wanted. The regime was brutal. Patients were given a few spoonfuls of tomato or asparagus broth twice a day, sometimes less.
Oh my gosh.
They were subjected to daily enemas that could last hours.
Oh.
They were beaten with brushes during massages. to stimulate circulation.
You know, like those anger rooms now, maybe that's what she did. She would pay people to go beat the shit out of patients and give them massages.
Do you feel better now?
How about now?
How about when it stops? I feel amazing.
I feel great.
Because tomorrow it's going to be worse.
I feel nothing.
Oh, God. She also had people that would pass out, like, while they were exercising. I mean, I guess.
Oh, God.
You have nothing to eat. You have no energy to burn. You're being dehydrated, basically, with the enemas lasting hours. And then you're beaten to stimulate the blood flow.
And then, all that bruising. Yeah.
So no wonder they were passing out. Well, Linda would pace the halls in her long white coat, preaching about purity while people around her literally withered away. And they paid for it.
Oh, my gosh.
They paid. Linda charged handsomely for her treatments and often took control of her patients' finances. What a dear she was, right?
I wonder if nobody was like, how many people has she cured?
Oh, maybe they were the first ones.
Maybe.
Probably closed after 30 days. I don't know. We'll see.
They ran out of customers.
Yeah.
All the customers are dead.
Why is everybody dead? They just didn't stick to the routine, Linda. Many of them rewrote their wills while too weak to walk, leaving everything to her and her husband, Samuel Hazard, a man who, surprise, surprise, had already been convicted of bigamy.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. He could be on Sister Wives.
Yes. The Hazards lived well. They actually dined, while their patients wasted away. Steak for dinner, patients sipping broth.
Did they eat it in front of them?
I doubt that.
Oh, but my gosh. I know, that'd be terrible.
While you're preaching, and maybe she went through it herself and she felt better, amazing. I don't know. Maybe she went through something.
Maybe she's like, I can earn more money from y'all if I don't have to feed you.
And I think she really had, like, she really had this desire to help people feel better, but
she went about it all wrong.
Maybe she should have gone and got a degree. I don't know.
Go get that.
Then you would know
off.
What organs can and cannot handle starvation.
Yeah.
So she saw herself as a pioneer, a visionary, the woman who would purge humanity of its sins through starvation. And for a while, she got away with it. Most of her patients didn't live to tell their stories, but the ones who did, they still believed her. And that's the wild part. Like, some of them called their suffering cleansing. They defended her methods, convinced that they had been saved.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's the power of a good cult leader.
Like, what's your survival
rate? The pain
rate?
Becomes proof. So, yeah, it is like a cult, I guess. Who is that cult leader that everybody drank the Kool-Aid? Jim Jones?
Oh, yeah. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, people.
They drank the damn Kool-Aid.
Don't slurp up the tomato soup.
I mean, some people can just make you believe anything.
Yeah. I'm going to get on that meteorite as it flies by.
And when you, especially when you don't have an alternate source of education, now we have social media, so you can always pop on. Or the internet, Google, Dr. Google.
Yeah. Dr. Brandy.
Dollar General degrees.
Yeah, you know? Girl,
so
yeah.
You can actually Google and find out, is this legit or not? Well, they didn't have that. So you've got this person professing, I can heal you. Be healed. By the power of the Hazard.
By the power of the Hazard.
By 1911, Wilderness Heights had claimed multiple lives. The death certificates read cirrhosis, heart failure, malnutrition.
No, what? Not malnutrition, huh?
I thought malnutrition would be the first one.
I thought they wouldn't put that on there because that's how they're trying to heal people.
Right? No one was suspicious, at least not officially, but word spread quietly through Olalla. People said you could hear the groans from the sanatorium at night.
Mm.
That would be freaking horrible.
Yeah.
Locals joked nervously that checking into Wilderness Heights was a one-way trip. Then came the Williamson sisters. Claire and Dorothea Williamson were wealthy British women in their 30s.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Educated, refined, and deeply into spiritual healing. They tried everything from homeopathy to electricity therapy.
I want to try that.
You know, back in the day, it was rough, guys.
Oh, man, we're going to drill a couple holes in your head and then put you in the electric
right?
chair. Good luck.
Or the, what's that called when you get a...
Lobotomy?
Lobotomy?
Yeah. Ugh. Stay away from me.
Yeah, right?
I don't want to play anymore.
When they heard about Linda Hazard, they thought they'd found the answer. The sisters never actually met Linda before signing up for her treatment. They read her book, Fasting for the Cure of Disease, and were sold. That's how persuasive her writing was. She could convince you that starving yourself was enlightenment. They arrived in Washington in 1911, checked into an apartment to start their pre-treatment fast, and within weeks were shells of themselves. Neighbors said they looked like ghosts, fragile, pale, barely able to walk. Linda assured them, it's normal. Healing crisis, she called it. That's what she always said when someone started dying.
Oh my God.
Healing crisis.
You're dying. It's a healing crisis. You'll be fine.
Yeah, don't worry. It's fine. You're going to be fine. Everything is fine.
You're doing exactly what I knew you would do.
How did I predict this?
I knew it. I knew this was going to happen.
I'm the greatest.
Your spirit's just too damaged. I'm sorry.
When the sisters were finally moved to Wilderness Heights, things got worse.
Mm-mm.
Much worse. They were fed nothing but thin broth and juice for days, then weeks. Linda began taking control of their valuables, their jewelry, their bank accounts.
Oh.
She told them it was to keep them safe while they healed. In reality, she was slowly robbing them blind. Dorothea was too weak to resist. Claire deteriorated faster. Linda sent upbeat telegrams to their relatives saying they were recovering splendidly. Meanwhile, Claire was dying upstairs, bones jutting through skin, barely conscious. She weighed less than 70 pounds when she died.
Oh my God.
That blows me away. Linda listed the cause of death as cirrhosis of the liver. Of course she did. Cirrhosis.
Claire was hitting that bottle too hard.
But when Dorothea realized her sister was gone, she was too weak to flee. Linda told her that Claire's death was a necessary step and that her spirit was free now. It's the kind of thing that sounds profound until you realize it's being said by a con artist standing over a corpse.
I bet she was like breathing in over the corpse, trying to digest her soul.
Yes.
Give me your soul. Like on Hocus Pocus.
Right. Fortunately, the sisters had a nurse friend in Australia, Margaret Conway, who got worried about not hearing from them. She came to Washington to check on them, and when she arrived at Wilderness Heights, she found Dorothea barely alive and Claire's body already cremated. Margaret was horrified. She dragged Dorothea out of there and went straight to the British consul. Newspapers called it the Starvation Heights Horror. Reporters descended on Alala hungry, pardon the word, for a scandal.
I like that.
The contrast was too perfect. A so-called healer in a white coat presiding over a mansion of death while claiming divine purpose.
You know, it would have been even better if she was like grossly obese.
Oh my gosh.
Like she was eating. I'm eating everything.
Oh.
You get nothing.
I get your steak and potatoes.
Uh-huh. It works better when you watch me eat the good food.
Just a spoonful of sugar is all you will get. Linda didn't buy it. She said Claire's death was part of the healing process. She even argued that Dorothea's recovery proved her methods worked.
Oh my gosh.
Dorothea, to her credit, didn't buy it anymore.
Thank
goodness. Once she regained some strength, she filed formal charges. It was the beginning of the end for the starvation doctor.
Mama.
Would you like me to continue part two?
Oh, it's like, are you asking?
Excellent. Here's part two.
Yay!
So, Dorothea Williamson lives, barely, dragged out of the sanatorium by her friend Margaret. She's a skeleton in silk, shaking but breathing, and she's mad. Not just angry, righteously furious. I mean, her sister withered away and died.
Yeah, and that woman did nothing, and she's saying she's healing.
They were duped. Linda Burfield Hazard, the woman she trusted with her health, had starved her sister to death and stolen her inheritance. The grand healer, the enlightened doctor, the fasting evangelist. Turns out that she was just another thief in a white coat with a God complex. When the story hit the press in 1912, it spread like wildfire.
Wildfire!
Wildfire! The Seattle Daily Times ran headlines like, Starvation Doctor Held for Death of Wealthy Englishwoman.
only one person? She's only,
really?
She's only being held for one person's
right?
death?
People were equal parts horrified and fascinated because on some level, the audacity was hypnotic, which is most of what we do. I mean, it's like, you cannot imagine this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like
happens.
A train wreck. You have to watch it. Who does this? Who looks at a human being dying in front of them and says, yes!
You're doing great!
Progress!
I feel the healing.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel the... Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
Like, well, I
Maybe
feel
you
hunger
should.
Cramps.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. When the law finally came for her, she didn't flinch. She strutted into court like a little peacock, attending her own awards ceremony.
Like, didn't think she did anything wrong.
No, she was like, I'm a healer. What the fuck?
Batshit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So she wore fine clothes, tailored, dramatic, self-assured.
They're probably Claire's clothes.
Oh, God. They may have been. When the reporters asked her if she felt guilty, she said, guilty? I've cured hundreds. My conscience is clear. That's Linda in a nutshell. Delusion with lipstick.
That's great.
The trial was a circus. Dorothea, frail but determined, testified against her. She described the starvation regimen, the treatments, quote unquote, the constant theft under the guise of medical supervision. She told the jury about how she and her sister had been manipulated, isolated, and drained physically, emotionally, and financially. Can you bring yourself to that point, though? And you're first of all, you're at the point where you would feel the need to go to this sanatorium and just to feel better, like you're already feeling so poopy.
Yeah.
And you have high hopes and you go in and you are just, I can't imagine starving. Like I got lost in the mountains and didn't eat for a whole day and I thought I was going to die. Okay. That's a little dramatic,
yeah.
But it's that doom feeling. Like, you know, your body is giving way.
Yeah, it's like shutting down.
Yeah. And there's, basically, you're too weak to do anything by that point. If her friend wouldn't have arrived, she'd be dead,
too. She'd be dead, too.
Yeah.
And it is an easy fix. You just start eating again.
Yeah. So the prosecution brought up the long list of deaths connected to Hazard's clinic. At least a dozen confirmed, probably more. They presented letters Linda had written to patients' families, soothing and saintly, while quietly emptying the victims' bank accounts. They even showed how she'd use one dead patient's clothes and jewelry, literally wearing the evidence of her crime.
Oh, my gosh.
So the defense, you know, probably as theatrical as Linda, insisted that she was being persecuted by meat eaters. Oh, it's those healthy meat eaters.
I'm coming for you.
So that was her phrase for anyone who disagreed with her fasting gospel. She said Claire Williamson's death was a misfortune, not a crime. She talked about toxins and purification and cosmic energy until the jury's eyes glazed over. She had this wild confidence that if she just spoke long enough, people would see her as enlightened, not insane. And honestly, she wasn't entirely wrong. Some did. Even in court, a few loyal patients sat behind her, nodding like disciples. Yep,
oh
yep, that's
gosh.
Her.
Oh, my gosh. Did they roll them in
yep.
wheelchairs?
I don't know.
Carry them out in body bags?
I don't know. They were convinced that she had been misunderstood. They said she'd healed them.
Oh, my gosh.
That she was a martyr of modern medicine. So cult leaders never run out of believers, right?
Yeah.
That's probably the likely story there.
Stands up like me.
Thankfully, the jury didn't buy it.
Thank goodness.
After weeks of testimony, they found her guilty of manslaughter. Not murder, manslaughter. Because even then, people weren't sure whether she was evil or just deeply, profoundly misguided.
Oof.
Or crazy. I don't know. I'm just
going to go with option
there.
Three.
Yeah. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Was she only charged for Claire's death? No other patients?
I think several deaths, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of Linda's downfalls is that she was a talker, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was this evangelistic person who just didn't shut up. In prison, she fasted voluntarily because, of course, she did.
Oh, my gosh.
It's her belief.
If I fast long enough, I will be released. Or I can just slip through the bars.
Yeah.
Turn sideways.
But then she started preaching to other inmates about the purity of emptiness. She wrote letters, gave interviews, and said she'd been framed by meat-eating doctors who feared her success.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Why not vegetarian doctors?
No.
Why's it got to be the meat eaters?
Why does it have to be that way? I don't know that back then they had vegetarian, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody was just trying to survive.
Yeah, whatever we have to.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not worms.
Yeah. Blech. After serving just 2 years, she was released.
What?
2 years for multiple deaths, financial exploitation, and general villainy.
Probably con the sheriff or whoever's over the warden.
Probably. She probably starved him to death.
Probably so. Oh, he's dead. And look, I fixed him.
Yeah.
It's better now.
You can almost hear her walking out of that prison gate, adjusting her hat, thinking, well, that was inconvenient.
Yes.
She left for the U.S. for a while, moved to New Zealand, where, and I wish I were making this up, she continued to practice
as
a fasting specialist.
So she didn't call herself a doctor there.
Yeah, specialist, though.
Well, specialist.
I'm special. There were complaints, but she managed to stay under the radar. Then in the 1920s, she came back to Alala.
Guess who's back? It's me.
I'm bringing starving back. You mother don't know how to act. So she actually went to the same patch of land where people had died and opened another sanatorium.
Oh my gosh.
This time, though, she called it a school for health. Same property. Same philosophy. Same philosophy.
Same philosophy.
Same philosophy. Because apparently, if you just rename the horror, it becomes a wellness retreat.
Sounds legit. I'd go.
I'd go.
Must be perfect.
I want to go to a school for health.
So serene and healthful.
Yes. She claimed that she had been vindicated by time, that people finally understood the power of fasting. And to be fair, fasting had become a fad again, this time dressed up as spiritual discipline. So her timing was, as always, diabolically perfect. She wrote another book, Keep Attracting Believers. If you even thanked her for saving them from disease, it's the kind of thing that makes you wonder if history ever learns. Does it, people?
No, because nobody wants to know the history. Like when I try to explain
Henry
VIII.
Well, they try to change the history.
Oh, I was thinking when I try to talk about Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn to my kids and they get that glazed over look.
Learn it.
Learn it and discuss it with me.
You will be wiser. So, locals still called it Starvation Heights. So, I guess history does learn.
Yep, they still knew.
The name stuck like a ghost story. Parents would tell their kids, don't wander too far into the woods or the starvation doctor will get you. She's now like the boogeyman.
Oh, shit.
The place was still beautiful, still quiet, still green, but people swore they could hear whispers in the trees. And honestly, if any place deserves to be haunted, it's that one. Like, I'm hoping it's haunted.
Sorry, that would be cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Let's go. Let's go explore.
That'd be cool, cool.
Be so cool.
Let's go sit out on the lawn.
Go feed the ghost. Like you feed the ducks, you feed the ghost.
Linda kept working into her 60s. She slowed down, but she never repented. Not once.
Hmm.
When asked about her critics, she said, they eat themselves into their graves. I help them find peace.
Oh, shit.
That's her entire worldview.
She makes it to where you don't need 6 strong men to carry you down the aisle at church. You only need 2 because you weigh 70 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you've starved all the sin out of your body.
Yep.
If you disagree with me, you're wrong. If you die, you're healed.
Thanks. Do you ever get thank you notes from the ones that die?
Yeah.
Hang them up on your wall.
Tell me one person that was grateful after they passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1938, Linda Burfield Hazard got sick.
What? But she's the wellness expert.
She did. She got sick.
Oh, no.
But she... Oh, no. She did what she always did. She fasted. And this time, it worked exactly as advertised.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yep. So it's 1938. The world has changed. Cars have gotten faster. Medicine's gotten smarter. And people have mostly stopped dying for cleansing. But not Linda.
Mostly.
No, Linda. Linda, listen. Linda. Your starving doesn't work. But she's still out there in Olalla, Washington. Older, slower, but still preaching starvation like it's salvation.
Oh, gosh.
The woman could have opened a flower shop or retired quietly to write pamphlets about colonics. I don't know what that means. Empty colons. To write about empty colons. But no.
It's very interesting.
She went down exactly how she lived. Stubborn, sanctimonious, and hungry.
Oh, my gosh.
After decades of treating patients, dodging lawsuits, and outliving her own reputation, she fell ill. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's karma. Maybe it's all that smug self-assurance finally curdling in her stomach.
Yes.
Whatever it was, she decides to heal herself her way, the fasting way. She stops eating, stops everything.
Oh, my gosh.
No meat, no vegetables, no broth.
Can I have some leaves?
Not even her signature healing tomato water. How good does that sound?
Oh, my gosh.
Just give me a little tomato water.
I love tomato water.
It's so good.
It's so cleansing. I feel healed.
And look how skinny I am.
Yeah, look at that.
You can see my ribs.
If she closed one eye and turned sideways, I look real skinny.
That's right. So slowly, poetically, inevitably, she starves to death.
No.
Yep.
Thought this bitch would live forever.
Yep. So that's the ending she wrote for herself. No trial this time, no witnesses, just her in the dark. You almost want to call it justice, but that feels too neat.
Her husband's other wife wasn't there with her?
Yeah.
My wife-in-law.
She took so many people with her, one spoonful of broth at a time. That sounds way too dramatic. When her body was found, her followers were quiet. There weren't many left.
And they all wanted to eat at the funeral after party.
Yeah. And the sanatorium shut down for good.
No.
But Starvation Heights didn't fade. Nay. Locals said the land felt heavy, that the air around the old buildings was thick, like grief that hadn't quite left.
Right, nothing heavy or thick around there.
Surely not Becky's thighs. Okay. People who wandered through the woods swore they saw figures, thin, transparent, moving between the trees. The Hazard House burned down years later. No one knows how. Theories vary. Some say it was an accident. Others say the town finally took matters into its own hands.
I think it was the ghost.
It was. What's left now are foundations and whispers and stories.
Ooh.
The story of the woman who believed hunger was holiness, who thought dying was healing, who made people thank her while she robbed them blind. You know, I think you kind of have to really get someone's perception. Like, we're going to heal you. We're going to make... What is your definition of healing? Do I have to be in the dirt for that?
Yeah. Like I want to heal me
alive. Now I'm going to second guess everybody.
Yeah. What kind of healing are we talking here? Like death healing or like healthy?
What is your belief of a healthy person?
And I don't want to be hungry because hungry does not make me happy.
Hungry and me don't match.
Mm-mm. It's going to be bad.
No, give me a Snickers. The thing about Linda is she doesn't listen, right? Linda, listen.
Yeah, she did
Linda.
Not listen to that
Linda,
little boy.
Linda, please. Listen to me.
Listen, Linda.
She didn't listen. And she really felt like she was right. And that is what makes her terrifying. And the world is full of people who think they're saving it while burning it down. Linda Hazard wasn't a monster in a mask. She was a mirror. A reminder that confidence without conscience is lethal. And yet, there's a certain dark comedy to it all. A woman who starves others to death, starved herself to death, and still has apologists online arguing that she was ahead of her time. Yeah.
Oh,
we're wacko.
Gosh.
Humans are just out there.
Yes.
So the sanatorium is peaceful now, but if you listen closely, you can almost hear the echo, a spoon tapping a bowl, the rustle of a long coat, and a voice saying, "Just one more day and you'll be pure."
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Hear some growling stomachs.
Mm-mm.
No, Linda, no.
So, this was the story of the starvation doctor, Linda Hazard, a woman who turned hunger into holiness and a sanatorium into a graveyard and somehow convinced people to thank her for it.
And pay her lots of money.
This has been another stroll through the darker corners of American history, where belief meets madness and good intentions go on a hunger strike.
Ooh.
Stay curious, stay skeptical, and stay full.
I will.
All right.
Feed me.
So what'd you think of this one?
I liked it. It's a bit different. Never heard of her.
Yeah. Bit different. So let's go get a steak and
talk about her.
Let's go get a burger and talk about Linda.
Let's get a burger and fries and talk about old Linda.
Listen, Linda. I'm going to have this Wagyu beef burger and baby.
I can have some bacon.
I know my gut's going to not thank me about it later, but...
I don't care.
My tongue thanks me. All right. Until next week, where we talk about another crazy bitch who is...
Unwell.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly... Unwell.